Okay. Very good. I'd like to call this regular meeting of the Cary Beach Town Council to order. And with that, we'll have our invitation. No, just on time. We'll have our invitation.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
I just want to take this time, too, before we begin, to, in addition to your regular places of worship for Easter morning, we have our community sunrise service at 6:15 down at the pier. Hope to see you all. This is just a verse from Psalm 48. For this God is a God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for all those gathered here tonight. And we thank you that you would bring us together and pray that you would give your guidance and direction to those here tonight who make decisions, especially in those sensitive issues that impact our community, but as well as those major decisions that will continue to guide Cary Beach as a vital and vibrant community, both now and in the future. Lord, we pray your blessings upon us all this night. This we pray through Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Would you all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance and thank Dan for coming in and giving the invitation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks. Recognition and awards.
You.
Approval of consent agenda items, and I have one that we need to add is appointment of Mike Jones to the Parks and Recreation Committee as a regular.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda with the item added.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Adoption of the agenda. We have several changes. Michael Jones, we're going to take him off of the agenda. He's not going to be with us tonight. The second change will be under Planning and Zoning Commissions. I'd like to add a item C, and will be about the Party House, 902 Fort Fisher.
902 North or South?
North.
North. 902 North.
Yeah, along with the
okay.
We have the storm reduction project under two, under discussion of new business. And that's for John has the bulldozers. Mm-hmm. And number three is the Army Corps of Engineers request for us to join the Carolina Beach in a renourishment project. And Craig will handle that.
Did you want to move to closed session after people address for the attorney? I'm sorry, sir.
Okay. And we will move the closed session to the item right after discussion and consideration of people to address council. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me do this. Adoption of the agenda.
Make a motion we adopt the agenda.
Second.
All in favor, signal saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
As amended?
As amended.
Okay.
Yes, excuse me. We now have the persons to address council, and Rick Knott is number one on our list. And Rick, if you'll come up and let the secretary know your address.
Right here. Joseph Street.
Okay.
1326 St. Joseph Street. Mr. Mayor, Town Council, I appreciate your hearing me here tonight. I'm here tonight. I'm out of town. In the capacity as the director of the Cape Fear Disabled Sportsman Tournament, where we got on my paper. And although our approvals are all in order, et cetera, we felt compelled to come before this august board and thank you publicly for what you have done for us in the past and currently regarding our disabled tournament. It's a huge event. It's a wonderful thing that is done for a lot of people. And last year we had 342 participants, about 150 volunteers. It's a great day for a lot of people, and we just want you to know that we very much appreciate the support that the town of Crude Beach has given us in this event.
Thank you, Mr. Knight.
Excellent. Thank
you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Joanne Durham, and please give Nancy your...
We have 902 Pelican Court, Crude Beach. Good evening, Mayor and Council people. I want to speak in support of the resolution against seismic testing. I think this resolution really carries on the tradition that you all have supported of in Crude Beach of responsible stewardship of the coastal environment. It doesn't seem necessary at all for us to go into and we didn't figure that people needed to tell you all the reasons why we support this resolution tonight, because you heard that in a great deal of detail in January, so we're not going to try to rehash all of that tonight. But you do need to know that since then, hundreds of people on the island have written letters, have signed petitions, have made phone calls, and have expressed our opposition to seismic testing. We also realize that you can't stop seismic testing by this resolution. That's not really our intent, and we know it's up to the federal government. But what you can do with the resolution is officially express the will of the people of Crude Beach. You probably know similar resolutions have been passed in towns up and down the coast, including, of course, Carolina Beach. And all of those resolutions bring attention to the issue as the federal government makes its decision. So I just want to tell you also that a lot of us, or certainly myself and many of the people I've met since then, didn't know that much about this issue until January. But we've been doing a lot of research since then. We sent you a whole information packet, which I hope you had a chance to take a look at. And we keep getting more alarmed the more we learn. It seems that the safeguards that have been put forward by the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management are really not sufficient at all. Protecting 4% of the ocean is not going to do what we need to have done. So as our elected officials, we really hope that you'll speak the voice of the people of Crude Beach, which was resoundingly spoken here in January, by passing this resolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Brady Bradshaw. And please tell the clerk your address.
4934 right, Fresco Avenue. Thank you very much for bringing forward this resolution tonight. I appreciate the consideration of the council on this resolution. It's very important. As a representative of Echo Friendly Action, a nonprofit, and through a conversation with several other nonprofit representatives, we have a concern before this vote is taken tonight. In the North Carolina State Ethics Commission, they state that a purpose of the state ethics policy is to ensure that elected and appointed state agency officials exercise their authority honestly and fairly, free from impropriety, duress, favoritism, and under influence. I recognize you're not state officials, but this is a pretty good code of ethics if I've seen one. Commissioner Pagley, we realize that this vote tonight puts you in a very difficult position because you're a salesman for a consolidated pipe and supply, which supplies materials to the oil and gas industry. This is obviously a conflict of interest, and we therefore ask that you don't take part in the vote tonight. Meanwhile, I hope that all of you, regardless of your personal beliefs, will listen to the voice of the people of Crude Beach and vote for this resolution, as you've heard broad support for in January. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Charlie Allo, please give your address.
954 Fort Fisher Boulevard South.
Real quick, like, I think you've got a brief statement, and each of you have a brief statement from me. What I'm looking to do is establish an ad hoc committee to research ways of improving the traffic flow throughout the town. And this can only be done with the permission of council to go ahead and have members of the community research the project and give its recommendations to you. I don't look at this as a normal committee as far as normal times are concerned. The committee, as far as I'm concerned, is open to the community. The mayor asked me if I'd go ahead and be chairman. I don't like the title chairman. I will go ahead and act as a coordinator within the group. But I look at this as a town or community project. So all I need is basically your blessing.
So what drove this, Charlie? I'll ask the first question. What drove this?
What is bringing it about is when you get south of East Street, there's no way for the traffic during the summertime, during high density. I won't say there's no way. It's difficult to get out on 421 and come home. Usually when I get home in the morning on Saturdays or Sundays, I'm all right up until about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. After that, if I want to get out, it's like dodging traffic. It's a problem. It's also a problem to a certain degree for emergency personnel that have to go down there during dense periods. Now, the way the traffic is hung up right now is that, generally speaking, the traffic going south of the stoplight flows pretty free. The problem would occur for emergency vehicles if they got south and far enough south, if they had, particularly an ambulance, if they had to transport someone into the hospital during a high-density traffic period, that would be one heck of a mess coming off. I think ways need to be found to get around this. Personally, you're not aware of this, but back in in the late 70s or early 80s, the town was assured when the state and the federal government came to us and said, look, how's about giving your consent to developing the South End? In other words, the museum, the aquarium, the state park, things like that.
Charlie,
we were short at that time.
You're coming up on your 3 minutes. Can you go ahead and summarize real quick? All right. And you want permission from the council to start an ad hoc committee.
Right.
You as, not chairperson, but coordinator. Okay. How many people did you think this would encompass? How many?
As far as I'm concerned, there's no limit. People that are willing to work on it and put some thought into it, can think outside the box, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. What are council's thoughts?
I don't need an answer right now.
So who would he?
Yeah.
Sir?
I say I don't need an answer right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
You can do this at your convenience.
All right, well, appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Charlie.
I'll take this up next one.
Okay, we'll now go into a closed session with our attorneys.
Make a motion, we'll go to closed session. I'll make a motion.
Second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
It's going whenever you guys are here.
Here. I'd like a motion to return to open session.
Make a motion we return to open session.
Second.
I'd like a motion to approve. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Can you make my motion?
We're going to do the first one, but go ahead.
Okay, so at the end of the meeting, a press release regarding this issue will be posted on the door. Make a motion to approve the settlement agreement and mutual release for the lawsuit Integrity Builders LLC versus Town of Cary Beach, North Carolina, case number 12 CBS 973. Do I have to do it one at a time? Yes, sir. That's my motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Number two.
Make a motion to authorize the finance officer to remit a payment of $160,000 in relation to the lawsuit.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
And I make a motion to approve budget amendment 1406, transferring $160,000 from the water sewer fund to the general fund for the settlement payment.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
And then the second, regarding the second legal matter, advice was given to the town attorney for action. That's all I have, sir.
Thank you. Discussion and consideration of committee business, board of adjustment. New. Report Harry Hunt, priest for another 3-year term. Community center committee. Anybody out there? No. Marketing committee.
Actually, would you all go ahead and vote on that?
I'll make a motion that Harry Humphreys get reappointed.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Galbraith.
Okay, Craig Galbraith, the chairperson of the Cary Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. We have two items brought before the council this evening for your consideration. The first is an item that was brought 2 months ago, and we had a discussion, and the council asked us to consider looking and perhaps adding some additional language to this, and this has to do with the illumination. And it's kind of a bit of a background on this. We did a lot of research in terms of trying to figure out the major issue, which is that you want to prohibit certain types of illumination related to string lighting or LED type of lighting on buildings that some people are now using to frame the building, basically make the building into a billboard, but also recognize that in some cases it may be artistic, it may be very appropriate for, say, outdoor restaurant and all that sort of thing. So the two approaches that we found, one is called the prescriptive approach. Prescriptive approach means you try to define everything. This, for example, is the model lighting ordinance put together by the Illuminating Engineering Society. It's 44 pages long. It's probably not what we want to have here in Cary Beach. The other approach, which is the one that we took, is what is called the Flexible Development Standards. We did some searching, for example, Asheville, and we looked at communities that were smaller communities that have a tourist component to it. Asheville, Chapel Hill, Sunset Beach, Holden Beach, Hilton Head, Buford, for example, are examples of these. And this is where they basically prohibit certain things unless it's approved, some sort of program or plan is approved. For example, in Chapel Hill, it's the building inspector. So it says, for example, string lights are prohibited unless approved by the building inspector. Town of Sunset Beach, they define these as miniature lights. Miniature lights are often used to highlight uses with an evening orientation, such as nightclubs or restaurants. The design of permanent installation of miniature lights must be approved by the architectural review board. We don't have an architectural review board. So anything, all these that have flexible development standards, which is what we're encouraging, have some sort of a review process that allows folks to have approval of things that are artistic or are appropriate. So based upon that, we rephrased our proposal and suggested, and we had a good discussion, particularly with the building inspector also, and have suggested adding the language to the previous one where we prohibited bare light sources, LED, fiber optics, etc., and add at the very end, unless approval as part of a planned lighting program by planning and zoning, and then we added the addition of the final approval by the town council. So again, the town council obviously has final approval of these sort of things. And then the section does not apply to security lighting, but motion detection, emergency lighting, and residential zones. So, again, we did have a discussion. We've added the language now with final approval by the town council. We did a lot of research to show that this is very typical for communities like Curie Beach that that try to have a flexible development standard that allows these type of opportunities.
So does this one have, Andy, does this one have to be put out before it's modified, or does council, can council vote on this?
We've already had a hearing on it, right?
Okay. I believe so. That's what I'm asking, right?
I think we did.
Yes, we did have a hearing on it, except for that final.
Yeah, this has changed. That's what I'm asking.
Yes,
we have to have
on that. That much of a change.
So, council, I would propose only two changes, small changes, and let instead of, if you look at the yellow highlighted portion, replace approved with reviewed, unless reviewed as part of a plan, lighting program by planning and zoning with final approval by town council, and take out final. We've talked about this before, Craig, and this is just my view of it, right? Planning and zoning review stuff, they don't approve it. Council approve it. It's just my view, right? And council, you guys can correct me, but for me, I don't want anyone to think that if I go to planning and zoning and they don't like it, I don't still get to come before council and get approval or not. I mean, we can still disapprove it, but...
If I can interject right there, if you do that, because if we do approve it and we keep the word approved in there, then it means it doesn't go to council, but if we just have review, then that means even though we approve it, you would still approve it then.
But with approved in there, then if you disapprove it, some people may think they're stuck. And I don't want to talk about that.
It's very, very minor.
I understand.
What's council's wishes? John, did you?
Yes, sir. Originally, I didn't like it. and that was the main reason there were new guidelines as to how something like this will be approved. And since then, at the last P&Z meeting, those changes were approved.
And do you approve the changes that David wants to make?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So, is anything going to be out of compliance with this right now as it's written in town? This is the same question.
There will be some things out of compliance. There's probably Jack Mackerel's, for example, would be out of compliance. But again, that's why we wanted to have that opportunity. All they would need to do is take a picture of it. Basically, we keep it very flexible, come into planning and zoning and say, this is our plan. Would you go ahead and prove it? Review it, and I can't speak because we haven't done it, but the whole purpose of this is to allow these existing things that are out of compliance to be approved as part of the plan. And we don't want to mess with anybody that's existing.
Do you have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the changes as recommended.
Do I have a second?
Got a question. When you say that Jack Max is out of compliance today, mm-hmm. What portion is out of compliance?
It would be the string lighting that would be up on the upper deck.
The upper deck string lighting.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, that's the problem. And all these communities are developing. In fact, our board is just like Riceville Beach, basically. Mm-hmm. All of these communities are realizing that the problem now with these LED lights and all these exposed lights and all that sort of thing. And you can go down Market Street and some other places and see the difficulty. So everybody is putting in this type of language to protect the community. So given that there are. And I don't think there'd be any problem, because that would be an example where the exception, obviously, you know, in fact, the town of Sunset Beach sees that as appropriate for nightclubs and restaurants, that sort of thing. So we wanted to have the wording in here where we would look at it, and also, again, based upon the concern of the council, where they could always come to you. I mean, we would review it, they would come to you and say, would you go ahead and approve the Jack Mackerel lighting? I assume it would be approved.
Is Big Daddy's also out of compliance for their lights in the tree?
Yeah, string lighting.
I don't think ornamental lights in the trees would be under this. This is buildings, roof lines, that sort of thing.
Do I have a second? Do I have a second? It dies for lack of a second.
Can I ask what the directive is? I mean,
I don't have any direction. I mean, from my standpoint, at the last meeting, I was pretty outspoken about property owners being able to do what they want to do to their property, right? So,
yes.
I mean, I know you changed a lot because of me, and I appreciate that, but the issue that is before us is the same issue as before. You know, people wanting to put lighting on their property, I understand your concern, and maybe I'm the head in the sand type guy on this one, but I don't like to tell people what they can do or not do when no one's done it. You said we've got at least one or two violations in town, but everybody's okay with those. That's the problem. It's like, so why are we writing a rule if we're okay with what's happening?
Greg, have you got something to say?
Yeah, the only... do you want to say something? The only point that I would add, Craig, is from my particular view, I don't wish to be so restrictive that string of lights. That part of being out of compliance just seems overly restrictive to me at this point in time. Now, I know we have a way to do it, but then if we approve it in one area, we're really going to have to start approving it for everybody, and then what's the value of the statement, I think. So
if I can respond, that's exactly why all these communities have what's called a flexible development standard, because it's a recognition that in many of these sort of things, you do have nice things, and you can write 44 pages in terms of trying to
find it. We want that.
And you know, this is how it's typically done, and how it's done in North Carolina and places like that. Another option, if you're concerned about existing, and these don't have grandfathering. Grandfathering is generally not considered a good planning process. But in some cases, you could grandfather the existing. Simply state that a lighting program that was in existence prior to the implementation of this ordinance is grandfathered in. You can certainly do that. I would strongly recommend that would be the approach that you would take if you're concerned about existing people getting hurt. Because what we're trying to do is be concerned about some very bad type of things, where you would prohibit these sort of things but allow the ones that are currently existing. And if somebody wants to come in and put additional lighting, then they could always come and do the plan. But that would allow the existing lighting that's in place to be grandfathered in. So I would certainly recommend that versus not having something to deal with something that could become a potential big problem. As recognized by almost every beach community and tourist community, is a big problem right now with this existing LED string lighting, those sort of things. I mean, almost all of these communities have these.
You're a smart guy, you're experienced, you know these laws, you work incredibly hard for the town. Do we have another way to deal with nuisance lighting?
I'm sorry.
Do we have any other way to deal with nuisance type lighting? Maybe lighting.
I mean, either you've got to go through the prescriptive process of 44 pages where you can identify everything, and it's going to be based on luminescence and everything like that. And again, that's the recommendation of the Illuminating Engineering Society. They recognize the problems that come with illumination with modern technology. That's in fact why they've done this. The easiest way to deal with these problems is to have a flexible perspective that allows things that you want to have and allows a review process to go ahead and deal with it. If, again, you're concerned about people who already have lighting, I would suggest approving this and put a grandfather clause in, to be honest. You know, because there are some really bad examples that are developing in the Wilmington area right now where people can take LED lighting, string lighting, whatever, frame their buildings, frame their roof lines, and it does not look good. And all the communities are concerned with it. All the communities have developed ordinances to try to prohibit that, but allow an opportunity where the more artistic ways of dealing with it are allowed.
Did you have anything?
Well, I mean, my only concern was for existing businesses. It's touched on that. Grandfathering and so forth.
Well, my part, I don't want any private citizen or particularly a business restricted. So there you go. Thanks. Now, number two, or B, excuse me, rental homes and their impact on parking and traffic. Potential introduction of rental home certificates as utilized in other states.
This is actually brought by a discussion we had regarding the parking, some of the parking issues regarding some of the rental homes. And we had a general discussion about what sort of things could be done to assist in trying to manage the problem where you have a house that might be rented on a weekly basis. You end up with 8 or 10 cars parked out in front and so forth. That migrated into a discussion of safety issues. There's been some accidents recently. I own a number of rental properties in different cities. I've got about 10 properties in Lafayette and West Lafayette, Indiana. I've got some in San Diego. I've got some here in Curie Beach also. And one of the things that I mentioned is that particularly in West Lafayette, Indiana, which is right around Purdue University, they have what is called a rental home certificate, which is common in high rental type of places. And this is a certificate where the building inspector goes in, they actually inspect for rental properties, they inspect it to make sure it satisfies safety requirements, you know, those sort of things. You have to pay a fee for it. It's a $500 fee actually in West Lafayette, Indiana. It's pretty stiff. I've written a few checks. After you approve, you get a certificate that then will allow you to rent that property within the limitations. And you could also have unrelated family components to that, family members. So if you have 3 bedrooms, you can't have 10 kids in the 3-bedroom, that sort of thing. And then after the $500 initial, then it's reviewed every, you know, the building inspector comes out and reviews it. And that might be $100 a year afterwards. I have to admit that what I've seen in West Lafayette, Indiana, and San Diego has something like that, but not severe. I'll talk about the West Lafayette, Indiana one. It really is a good. They go through, they look at all the safety things, they make sure there's fire extinguishers, they make sure that you know, smoke alarms work, and all the sort of things that you would hope that a rental property would have. So we're not recommending that. But I just want to point out that there is concern about parking issues as well as safety issues related to the weekly rentals, and that, you know, again, just kind of throw out an idea for discussion as to whether the council wants us to look at things.
So how will this certificate help parking or traffic?
The certificate wouldn't help parking, but it came out in the sense that part of the certificate specifies how many people can use that, can be in that rental property. So, for example, if you have a 4-bedroom house and the certificate says that, well, based upon safety requirements or whatever stipulation it might be, that you can only have, say, 5 people 16. Rent that, then that would prohibit, 10 people from renting a 3-bedroom house. So that then is a way of dealing with parking issues. So
how do you enforce that? Parking and safety. How do you enforce that then? What law?
I mean, basically, it's enforced by a complaint. And, somebody complains. If a neighbor complains that there's 12 people and they make a complaint to the city. And this is how it's done. I'm just asking for interest. Then somebody will come out, an officer will come out and check and see how many people are there and write a ticket if it's out of enforcement.
There was a house, on, I think, 900 North Fort Fisher Boulevard. They had 80 people in the house at one time. Mm-hmm. 80. They had 27 cars parked across the street in a private lot, so I think you can start with that and see what you come up with.
Yeah, and clearly this process would try to eliminate that potential from not only a parking problem but also from a safety problem. Okay.
Thank you. Anything else?
So well, he's asking for our guidance, right?
We want him to pursue looking at this, I guess so.
Do you want us to look at, come up with some recommendations?
Yes.
Is that related to C? I know that Mayor put out.
That's what I was going to put, C-902. But yeah, at one time they had 80 kids staying in it. Some of the kids were sleeping on the beach. They didn't call the police. The kids were well rehearsed with what they had to do to make sure they made amends to the people around it. But the property owners on both sides of them had trouble sleeping. So.
Okay. If I could ask the council for one more bit of guidance. when the K Avenue Mixed Use Overlay District was approved, there was a bit of confusion because we had an illumination component in there. Now again, remember, we don't have any businesses. There's no businesses that are affected. This is actually an overlay district where you'd have potentially businesses next to residential. Even though the council doesn't seem to be inclined to have an illumination restriction for the general commercial, it was certainly the Planning Commission's recommendation that a similar prohibition be placed in mixed use, because there you do have a disruption against possible neighbors that in a residential area. So,
So the current code says shall not cast illumination upon neighboring buildings. So in the current code, if someone puts lights up there on your house, the building inspector can enforce the current code and stop that.
If you don't want any more specificity than that,
I'm just saying that to say that there's not something in the code already is not accurate, at least how I read it. And I would expect the building inspector, if he got a complaint that, hey, their lights are shining in my window, he could enforce that pretty easily because it's in the code allowing to enforce it.
I'm not looking for guidance tonight, but something to think about, that if we do have a mixed-use district there, and let's say, you know, the illumination would not shine into the neighbor's window, but it could be in the front, it could be on the top, it could be LED lighting, those sort of things that really don't cast a lot of illumination. Is that something that you would possibly want to have in the mixed-use district? I understand the lack of interest in terms of a general ordinance in the commercial areas, but for the mixed-use district, we were concerned that that is kind of a special sort of situation. Because, again, there's no businesses that are affected. There's no grandfathering issues
right
there.
Yeah.
And it is a little bit different in terms of, you know, buffering right up into potential residential areas. So
I think that's worthy of a little discussion. I know I would not want that next to my home. I think most of the folks in here would not want that next to their home. So maybe it warrants some further discussion.
Well, then probably what we would do is, as a commission, come back next to the council next month with similar language, but just for mixed use, and have, which is originally what was in there, but there was confusion about that, so that type of paragraph.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Craig.
Thanks, Craig. You are doing good work.
Yeah, sorry, what you and the team, for what you and the council, I mean, the committee do, is good work.
Right.
Tony, Shoreline Access and Parking Beach Protection Committee?
Nothing?
Okay. Stormwater?
You had added under P&Z something about a party house.
He mentioned it.
He mentioned it
during that. In the general discussion. Yes.
Stay with us. Stay with us, Angie. Stormwater and Environmental Committee? No? Okay. Move on to discussion and consideration of department head business, administration, finance.
I have just two things. It actually came up after the agenda package went out, and I left them for you. There's two budget amendments. One of them relates to the Powell bill, and I guess the use of the funds for the downtown project, and then some other work that Sonny is going to be doing throughout the course of the year. So it's really just to raise that, increase the expense budget for use of Powell funds. Right.
Make a motion we approve budget amendment 14-08 to move PAL funds to support the work.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
And then 1409 is what came up in the first budget work session about some repairs that were required in the fire department for a cracked floor. So this also is to transfer some funds to the fire department.
Well, I make a motion that we approve the repairs for $5,000 for the fire department to the avenue of tax revenue.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Yes. Building department. John, you have anything for us?
I believe you added it to the old business, heat bulldozing.
Okay. Fire department. Police department. Okay. Public Works Department. Discussion and consideration of old business.
If I could make a mention, on the Public Works Department, Nancy, would there be a chance for me to get a look at that engineering study that was done on the waterway or the water, I think it was from Sunny?
The overflow?
Study. Yes.
Yeah. Can you forward to Sunny to get the engineering study for the Sea Watch dune infiltration to Commissioner DeCraig?
Yeah, I've had a lot of questions on it. I just don't have.
I thought it was emailed.
Yeah, it's part of the email you received.
God, he says I'm gonna have
it. If you didn't, he can get it to you, Craig.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Is that it? I got some information today on the Wadley swimming pool. It's not to scale. And they didn't turn it sideways, and so I think at least Craig and I had some apprehension about, Nancy, I got this view about letting them have permission to put the pool in. So I'll talk to the attorney and discuss that next month.
Okay.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of new business. Adoption of Resolution 14-4, opposition to seismic testing. Ms. Swearingen.
I make a motion that we approve this resolution as written.
I'll second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No.
Oh, wait a minute before we vote. So there was a comment. I'm sorry, can we stop before the vote or go back for just a second?
I didn't
make a motion for discussion.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've already voted.
No, we haven't. Well, then I'll discuss afterwards, whatever.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm sorry. So what was the vote? Dean is against against passing the resolution. Nobody else.
I know. I've heard one person say no.
Right.
Well,
Dean is against. Yeah. I said no.
But they
said no.
And you.
There you go.
How many people said no?
Three.
Did you say no or did you not say anything?
So the reason I want to say something before this vote, and I'm sorry I didn't
say anything. I know. Yeah, he,
so
Steve said nothing.
Steve said no.
Okay.
So it was at the beginning of the meeting we had three people talking. One of the citizens, or actually external to the town citizens, made an ethics, charge is not the right word, remark, thank you, remark. I'll just give you my position on that, right? So just because a commissioner makes his living selling parts to an industry, that's not the same as working for the industry. And just for the crowd to understand, Commissioner Pagley's business is really in water, not oil. So he sells to sewer systems and other things. I think it's pretty disheartening that people take a position and decide to make an ethics issue because they don't like the way someone has an opinion. And I'm not sure that that's exactly what the young man meant to do, but I can tell you it's pretty disheartening to me because I obviously voted for the resolution. I'm against seismic testing, but commissioners are supposed to vote their opinions, and they're supposed to vote their jobs, and they can't pull out of votes just because people make it unpopular for them to. So, in fact, you know, if you want to say people have all kinds of outside influences, that's true of everybody. The Ethics Commission is very clear on what constitutes ethics for an elected official in a vote. And it's also very clear on when they have to not abstain from a vote. And so I wish I had said this before the vote, because I had a feeling which way this vote was going to go, which last month I said we shouldn't be voting on this. I still think we shouldn't be voting on this, but since we have now, we're going to be in the paper again for yet another stupid thing. And I tried to... Well, that's all right. And I'll tell you, I tried to get this off the agenda because I knew... Or I had a feeling this is exactly how it's going to go. So once again, Curry Beach looks dumb for messing in something they shouldn't have.
Because they don't listen to their citizens.
So citizens said they were against seismic testing.
So I can tell you how many people, excuse me, sir. So I'll tell you how many people called me on this issue. That young man who doesn't live in Kiri Beach. The only person that called me on this issue. In December, in January. After I said in January, write letters. I don't know how many people did in citizens, but I, three? Was that it? Three people did or just you? Okay. But I,
We did make a comment at that last meeting whereby we said we would not engage the town in that type of activity since there was the feedback from some of the folks. I didn't get any phone calls either, but not that I'm looking for a lot of phone calls, but from my, yes, I was at the meeting, and at the end of the meeting, it was explained what was done. And there was really an impassioned, I thought, discussion that came from Commissioner Hagler that talked about we should not be involved in the things where we cannot impact the outcome. We should stay focused on these things. We should all take our personal views, write our personal letters, get them to the responsible congressman, take care of it. What? I'm
Secretary
sorry?
Secretary Jewell. It's the person you need to be contacted.
Oh, yes, yes, okay, okay, thank you.
But no position means you wouldn't take a vote. Yeah. You took a vote, and you were against the resolution.
Yes, yes,
so
we did take a
vote.
We did. Emily, what did you have to say?
Excuse me?
Sure.
That's not the issue we're addressing here. First of all, that was not a statement from the council. That was a statement from one council
that's
member.
That's what he said.
This is
that's
not the said. Issue tonight. Okay? And the young man out there brought the issue up. I abstained when we were voting on setup because my son works for that company, and I felt like I had a vested interest and did not have a right to be voting on that issue. I believe once before we were, before I came on the council, we were voting for the architect for the park, and because you were doing some pools, you abstained, okay, from voting on it because you had a vested interest. It didn't even have to be a direct financial interest. This young man has brought up the fact that the company that one of our commissioners works for, which he is a salesman for, sells materials to the oil and gas industry. So I would like to ask our attorney, is that considered a vested interest and should he have abstained or not voted at all?
No, because you would have to be talking about a specific company and show that he had a specific interest in a particular company. I mean, you...
It's on their website. It says that that's what they do. And so, you know, I don't look at his bank account, so I don't know where he gets paid. But ethically, I mean, I don't get paid from SETA. He didn't get paid from Lyle.
It's just in water products, not oil.
He deals in pipe.
So could I. So could you.
He deals
that doesn't change his ability to vote on the issue.
And it says on his company's website, the second item down, that they sell materials to oil and gas industries, just like SETA hires my son in South Carolina. It is a direct relationship, and I do not believe it's ethical.
I don't see any conflict in this particular instance. And besides, you're talking about an issue that the town doesn't have any jurisdiction in to start with.
Yes, and there
you're
are
dealing
over
with a federal government issue.
And the federal government is having a time for people to speak. There are over 2,000 towns from Maine through Florida that have been asked to speak out. No, little old Kiri Beach is not going to make any difference to the entire world.
But they do to
but exhibit. We are one of about 2,000 that could make a difference. And already, because of our people speaking out, it's already been proven by Oceana that there are 7 additional towns, 2 in New Jersey, Carolina Beach, Nags Head, Caswell Beach, St. Augustine in Florida, and the other one in Florida, I can't remember the name, but two in Florida and two in New Jersey and three that have already, just in the last 3 weeks, passed the resolution we were considering with others coming behind them. I was truly hoping that we don't represent our personal views. We don't represent what our employers want. We represent what the people out there who live in this town want us to do.
Storm reduction, John.
Question: if he is, he's got a conflict. My opinion is.
It's up to him.
Now, can I respond to your allegations?
No.
About me being an external citizen.
He's already been called up.
I live here.
Okay, well then I apologize for misrepresenting your address.
Yes, John. The storm reduction, the bulldozer.
Beach bulldozing.
Yes.
At our budget meeting last week, Council approved the expenditure and asked for the contract to be approved by the town attorney and signed by the mayor. I believe we got the contract figured out. I might be able to print it off here in just a few minutes. There's some minor changes by the town attorney.
Please be quiet.
The contractor that is doing bulldozing, he has told me that he has got us on the schedule for early next week with completion by the end of next week.
What's that?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Appreciate the two of you listening to us.
There you go. Thank you, John.
Sure.
Appreciate that. And number three is the Corps of Engineers request for us to help.
I do care.
He's asking you something.
Number three, Corps of Engineers request.
Oh, Corps of Engineers. Yes.
Nancy?
This would be something, if the people would like to stay, it impacts your beach nourishment. I would think you'd want to be interested in this.
Right.
If not, okay.
Right. Let's not listen to this one. That wouldn't make sense.
Okay. John, you're going to be running the line of fire. I've
already been doing
it. Come sit up here.
Now, when she turns out the lights, we can.
Let's just get a warm up.
All right.
Okay. Now he's giving me the
key. Well, it's too much. Turn on the
back.
There you go.
Okay.
No. Pick one.
Okay. All right. The reason we're talking about this tonight is we have a request from the Corps of Engineers to use available federal funding for replenishment in 2014. This year. From September to December. What we need to come up with is a recommendation on our view of this, which you will pass to the New Hanover County Commission group. What you're looking at here is, there's a couple things I think you should be aware of. One is that Carolina Beach is at the end of their 50-year permit for beach replenishment. So what you're going to see is some changes in their numbers. It's driven by the absence of federal funding. We have another 20 plus years on our permit, so when I show you our numbers don't reasonably change. And that's the reason. They change, their permit goes away. Ours haven't changed because we still have the permit. The second thing I want you to be aware of is the stakeholders involved here. The ROT is, I apologize for my back to you. The ROT is really the ROT funds that come from the sand money that is held by the county on our behalf. The state money, federal money, and the totals. And then there's another calculation that I'll talk to a little bit here, and that is our money. The money we would have to pay.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So let's start over here on the
left-hand side of the paper. It would say, as scheduled, Carolina Beach and Curry Beach would have replenishment in 2016, not 2014. If you look at Carolina Beach, you see that the ROT, the county funds, would have to come up with $6.6 million. That's because there's no federal money coming to Carolina Beach.
They haven't said they'll do that yet, right?
I'm sorry?
They have not said they would do that at this time, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, when we get to four, I'll talk a little bit
about thanks. That. I'm sorry
to interrupt. If you look at us, we have the ROT money matching the state money, which is typically what they do. $5.4 million from the federal government for a full year total of $8.3 million. Now, you can see our money is pretty much consistent as you go in every scenario. If you go to the next scenario, which is full replenishment, so just move down on the left-hand side of the page. The federal government has actually come forward and said, you know what, we found some money, and this could be a last hurrah for Carolina Beach. Let's give them some replenishment. So the federal government said, look, I got $4.8 million. State said I got $727,000. That would require the ROT funds to come up with $1.8 million. Now, normally ROT only matches state funds. If that happens, it means that Carolina Beach would have to write a check for $1.1 million. Just keep that in mind for the moment. If you come down to us, and what the Corps of Engineers would like to do is they would like to do the whole island at one time, save on all the mobilization costs, save on many of the other costs. So, but now you would see that we have $800,000 in state money this year, $5.4 million in federal money, and to make up the difference, you would need ROT to give us $2 million some dollars. If they match the $800,000, we would have to write a $1.2 million check to replenish this year. If they follow practice.
We carry beach.
We
carry beach.
If they follow practice.
Craig, may I make one correction? Certainly. You made the comment that they would do the whole island, and that is not true.
Well, they would replenish both towns at the same time.
Right,
some of our
but it is not.
It's limited areas.
I don't want the press or the TV stations or our residents to think that we're going to have all of Curie Beach renourished, because it isn't. It's only about twice what we did last
time. We would get sand where we typically get sand during our full replenishment.
Right.
So we get typical sand. So you would also notice that the impact there would mean that our next renourishment by permit would be in 2017. We're still on a three-year rotation. It would just change the year that the rotations occur, restarting the three-year clock if we were to do this in 2014. And you can look in 2017, we go back consistently to the numbers that you've seen before, because we're now back into the permit cycle. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the top right-hand corner, this is called a veneer. It's a veneer for our friends at Carolina Beach. Carolina Beach has $727,000 in state funds and federal funds of $2.7 million in this instance. And ROT would match the $727,000. So they could actually get a veneer, which is patch sand, in areas where it might be mostly needed for no cost to them at all. That does put them out. And it actually has no impact on a rotation. They would come back in 2016, and we would continue to be in our rotation, but you can see that they're at the $6.6 million because they're not getting any help from the federal government at this point. In the last case, this says the federal government gets some more conscience, gives them a 15-year extension, they get an extension to their permit, and you can see that the funding streams become whole again. Now, what would you say we should do? I will recommend to you that we do the following. Now, you may have questions on this, but I would say Town of Prairie Beach, based on my awareness, cannot write a $1.2 million check. But what we can do is we can go to the ROT with our friends from Carolina Beach and tell them why it's important that we stay in sync and that they should actually invest this money. Now, I talked to Dan Wilcox today, and Dan is working on a couple things, but let me just give you one high-level point of view. If the ROT matches the funds, they would have an extra $1.1 million to push in here and an extra $1.2 million to push in here. That's 2.3. The federal government is throwing in an extra 2.1. If you look at 2.7 to 4.8, the federal government is saying, look, we'll give you another 2.1 million, which is, in essence, almost another 300,000 cubic feet of sand.
Well, and they're putting in 5.4 for us, right?
Right. That does not
change.
But I think the value here is when you normalize this, and that was the work we were doing today, but it's not quite finished. When you normalize it, it demonstrates a benefit to actually having them spend the money today, keeping us all in the same pattern for 2000, getting us all into 2017, and the state getting the most benefit for their money, as well as the county. Now, there's a little bit of work to do there, but I would tell you, if we're forced to pay, we can't do it. But if we can get ROT to support this action, we should go ahead and get them to do it. Tell them that's what we'd like them to do as long as they cover this cost. So we're going to have to do a little bit of benefit analysis, and that work is in process.
So then, I think, is your strategy then, we pass a resolution that we approve doing this contingent upon the ROT allocating the funds to cover? Is that sort of the plan?
That would be my view. We can ask our finance team if we have $1.2 million, but I think we don't
know. Yeah, no. I agree with you on the point. So, but my question is do we lead or follow, right? So we pass a resolution tonight ahead of everybody, or do we wait? No, that's what I'm asking, no. Right? What's the strategy?
We don't have Carolina Beach, who's got, you know, the big part of this game. They are still meeting among themselves, and Steve and Leanne both were upset that I said I would not support, you know, spending $1.2 million that we don't have for anything like this until they get to ROT to say that they're going to kick in the money. I think we need to sit tight.
Well, I think Ports and Water, didn't they say they would not, even the county who has control of it, would not discuss it until they heard it from Carolina Beach and Curie Beach.
Carolina Beach has to have the front, you know, they have to dribble the ball down the court. They have not met. They are in helter-skelter. They don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I understand that. That's what I'm asking, right? So is our strategy to lead or follow? So it sounds like you think it should be followed.
It should be followed.
I'm okay with that, but I think we need to be ready to follow fast, because I think Emily's point is very valid. The ROT needs the pressure as fast as we get it, because the Corps wants an answer on this fairly soon.
They want it last Friday.
Yeah. Right, and so I think we need to talk through what we want to do and have it ready so we can have an emergency meeting to pass it.
That's exactly right.
As soon as Carolina Beach figures out what they're going to do.
That's exactly right.
And so, Emily, Steve, what do you guys think? I mean, to me, it sounds like the resolution is we're in favor of this contingent on the ROT.
That's exactly right.
And so I think we need to work. Is Nancy still in here?
Yeah, she's
there. She's our wordsmith. So, I mean, does that give you enough to wordsmith a resolution, Nancy, yes, so we can have it ready?
Yes.
And I think you should work with Leitner so that it helps him put pressure on them. Because, I mean, that's a lot of money for them to say they're going to take out a sequence. And does their authorities let them do that now? Because that's the other thing. And I don't know if authorities allow.
The county commissioners will have to vote to move the money.
I think the county manager is going to recommend that they stay to their process. But we're going to have to commit or work with the county commissioners to let them know why that's important, or get the county manager to change his point of view.
And Carolina Beach does need to lead on that, but yeah, we need to be right there beside them. So
we will be.
I agree with you, but one little sidebar here for a second. Let me ask you. Looking at each one of these scenarios, mm-hmm. I see what ROT and state and Fed supposedly are going to kick in. Where in there does it say that we need to be saving money for any of these scenarios?
Where does it say we need to be saving money?
Tucking when money away into our savings account
this is nothing to
pay
to do
for
with
something.
How we pay for it. This is just to
Well,
do
then why aren't
costs.
We...
We expect the federal government to stop quit funding it, and we need to have a contingency.
Okay,
here's the assumption.
So what you're saying...
These numbers don't change for us. The only time they change is if we work this year. That's it. Even these pieces are the same. The difference is what we get from state and what ROT would have to make.
Yeah, and that's not what they said the other day. But they're on 217, that same chart. Okay, I'm not talking about the 214.
Yeah.
When we get down to 217, we're still making the assumption that the feds are going to come up with another 5.5 million,
we have
and
that
the state
funded.
Is going to do that.
We have that.
How much should we be tucking away in our savings account in case none of those scenarios work?
Well, we need $8.3 million for our beach. If we don't get anything, you better tuck away a lot.
Okay, what do we tell Arlen?
What do we tell Arlen?
Yeah, we've got a budget here.
We put in $190,000. You're in the budget meeting on 30th.
Yeah, no, I know, but that's not going to equal eight.
Well, then you want to raise taxes?
Yeah.
I'm trying to answer you.
Well, then get him to stop talking.
We tell Arlen that he follows what the permits indicate, which is 65 federal, 35 state.
Right.
That's what you assume because that's what our permits are. Now, I say change them, but glory be, I have no idea what it would say.
Now, another sidebar. Now, do you understand that I did not say that we would not support Carolina Beach? I wanted to see the numbers. And if ROT doesn't come up with us, with money for us, then no, we can't support it. And that, you know, I really do appreciate you calling Leanne and Steve and putting that grain of untruth in their mind.
I think. We have a tape recording.
Good. I hope we do.
So, okay. So then, I would propose to council, since it wouldn't be a vote because it's not a resolution, but that we direct the town clerk to have a resolution drafted and ready for us when Carolina Beach takes action to execute that. That basically says. Contingent upon the ROT funding the larger portion, we would support option whatever number it is, but the one in the lower left-hand corner.
Yeah, the 2014
Is that the will of council?
Do I have a second?
It's more a poll than I guess a vote, right?
I think it's a vote.
I guess you're over.
Did you make a motion?
Yes.
Well, I was thinking it was the will, so I'm not sure if it's a vote's correct. Nancy?
Yeah.
Does it need to be a vote?
Voter consensus.
Vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
I make a motion that we direct the town clerk to draft a resolution supporting the option in the lower left-hand corner contingent upon ROT funding. The difference.
I second.
All in favor? Any more discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Are there any opposed?
No.
Was it unanimous?
Yes.
Thanks, Craig. Nice job.
Thank you. Anything else to come before this council?
Make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Turn on the lights, John.
Yeah.